Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to today continue in the series that began on last Sunday. I'm going to rename the series and just call it A Kingdom That Cannot Be Shaken. Say, A Kingdom That Cannot Be Shaken. That's the best kind of kingdom, amen. One that cannot be shaken. And then we'll take this subtopic, Grace to Serve. Say, Grace to Serve. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews 12 and verse 26 begins, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only earth, but also heaven." Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Say, thank God for His grace. Say, thank God for grace in times of shaking. There's a connection there. And this text is loaded with insight and encouragement. We're going to unpack this today, I believe, and God's going to help us all in Jesus' name. Now, there is grace to serve, and we can serve God acceptably, amen? And I want us to see that acceptable service is really what we're looking at today, because we can do things all type of ways. We can do things the way we want to do things, but it's always important if you're serving, you must serve the way the one you're serving wants to be served. That's the point of serving, is to serve in the way that God wants to be served. And therefore, when we understand that principle and then connect our service to kingdom, then in the midst of any season, whether good or bad, stable, unstable, whether it's like weird and strange, nothing will change God's kingdom, and then nothing will change you, because you're connected to God's kingdom. Amen? These are unstable times. But that's not news to anybody, because we've never been stable in this world. Not fully, come on. Now, this year is more difficult than many we've experienced, no doubt about it. But we've been in unstable times because we're not in heaven yet. We're on earth still. In fact, even Peter said, don't think it's strange, the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing were happening. Don't think it's strange. Now, listen, don't get used to it either now. I mean, expect the blessing, expect the joy of God, but don't act like we haven't seen this before. Now, this is more intense, it's longer, but we've been through things before. And we've seen God show himself faithful, haven't we? But regardless of the fact that this is not a stable time, we are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So God has given us stability because we're connected to his kingdom. I know it because I see you still standing. I see you still serving God. I see those who are here, those online. I speak with you. I know you're not being shaken because you're still here. No, correct that. Now, you've been shaken, but not shaken loose. There's a difference, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You've been not shaken loose and broke off from the shaking. The shaking comes. Because you'll see in our text today that there's so much here to see, and this one text we're giving you today. I'm going to spend all my time in this one text today because there's so much here. All right. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're receiving, we are not receiving a membership or an association. Now listen, we're members of this church, members of Body of Christ, but we're not club type members. You know, I talked to you last week, club members and body type members. A club member is there to look good, feel good, but a body type member is connected. But and because of that, when things shake, when things happen, that club type member drops off. But the body type member stays because we're body, we're a family. I mean, all of God's people. I mean, every church, every believer. And so because of that fact and that truth, we have a kingdom relationship. And it means this, that relationship with God, with God's people, and God's purpose cannot be shaken. Three things you can't shake. You cannot shake your walk with God. You cannot shake the people of God. You cannot shake the purpose of God. Say, Lord, thank you. My walk with you cannot be shaken. Your people cannot be shaken. Your purpose cannot be shaken. And that's from last week. That's the essence of our message from last week, is we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so in that kingdom is relationship to God, in that kingdom is God's people, in that kingdom is God's purpose. And so when you connect it that way, yeah, the shaking happens, but you're not shaken loose, all right? Understand that. Thank God for that. Now, what is acceptable service? What is acceptable service? What is acceptable service? Well, it is that which remains from God's shaking. What is acceptable service? It is the service that remains, I say, after God's shaking. Now, let's go deeper in that. Because the text said, for our God is a consuming fire. Is that what he said? So how does all this work together? For our God is a consuming fire. Now, listen, we take God, man, we take things negative so much. He's a consuming fire. He'll burn you up. Well, yeah, God does destroy like that. But this context, I believe, is different because fire is also for refining. There's refining fire. There's fire that consumes and destroys, but fire that consumes only the part that's impure. That's called refining fire. Amen? So I want to suggest in this text that the Hebrews writer is talking about refinement as a fire. God is a refining fire. Say that. Say, God, you are a refining fire. And you consume the stuff I don't need to have. Amen? So don't think the whole verse ends in saying, yeah, he'll burn you all up now. No, it's all one context. And so the fire here is about refining fire. You know, we mine, or they mine gold out of the ground, gold ore, and gold, man, the gold from the ground, you would not wear on your finger as a ring. You wouldn't wear that gold on your neck or earrings, because that gold from the ground is full of impurities. And so the refining fire is what purifies the gold and makes it worthy, amen, to be used in jewelry. Now, serving God acceptably is the outcome of things that cannot be shaken. You get that? The outcome of things that cannot be shaken. Part of the process of arriving at a place where things cannot be shaken involves removing things that can be shaken. That's where it begins. So the shaking, the acceptable service that we should offer to God, that we become acceptable in our service when things and purpose in our mindsets and our walk with God cannot be shaken. You know, people who are shaken and shaken loose just are too distracted to serve God. Those who are, you know, who are, now all of us experience shaking and trials and tests, but I'm saying that the text is indicating that the process of coming to a place where you can't be shaken through kingdom, it involves removing things that can be shaken. So there's stuff that needs to go in our lives. There's things that aren't sins. The Hebrews writer also said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which besets. The weight's not a sin. It's just something that needs to be, you know, removed. He said, lay it aside. Now I'm going to show you a video. And this video, every manufacturer of vehicles, cars, we'll say trucks, they test the vehicle. They test them in amazing ways and in ways that help them discover any weaknesses. And when you see this video, just see yourself in this device. Okay, so watch the video.
What's going on here is long-term durability testing of the new Ram 1500 pickup. On our road test simulator, where we recreate the vehicle's reactions that it would have if it were driving over rough road surfaces. How the new Ram 1500 deals with all of this abuse is high-strength steel in its frame and body to improve its long-term durability. The five-link suspension with progressive rate coil springs and new frequency response damping shock absorbers are dealing with all of that abuse that's coming at it from the road simulator. Hydraulic cab mounts are isolating and cushioning the driver and occupants from what's going on beneath them in there on the simulator. We record responses from vehicles that we drive on our proving grounds. We bring that data and vehicle back to the road simulator, and we recreate the responses that we measured as we drove over our durability roads at the proving ground. When the responses match here, what we measured there, the vehicle can't tell the difference between the test I do on the road test simulator and the actual test on the road at the proving ground. Our corporate durability test is anywhere from 20 to 30,000 miles long. Picture yourself driving over abusive roads like what's going on behind me for thousands and thousands of miles over months to accumulate the damage that a customer does in a lifetime of use. The road test simulator can run that in 6 weeks and, well, not beat up a driver in the process. Our test looks very severe because it really is. The roads that we're recreating here are the roads from our proving ground, which are some of the roughest roads you're going to find anywhere. And those roads have to be rough to incorporate the duty cycles that our customers are going to put their vehicles through a lifetime of service. This truck will endure this testing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the next month and a half. And it's just one of many durability tests that the new Ram 1500 will have to endure to prove its design before it goes into production.
And so they put this thing, this truck, up lights or two, top lights. It says 24 hours, 7 days a week for 6 weeks. That's going on. You know, they change shifts, people come in, people come and go, and the truck's still shaking. And the point is, obvious, that they have to test it to the point of failure to find out what are the weak points on this truck. What things, what components can be shaken? Because whatever cannot be shaken loose will remain. Whatever breaks can be redesigned. Right? Now, it's kind of a hard way of looking at our lives, you know. But we've actually been through this. We've been through shaking. Not exactly that way, but shaking where we didn't know what's going on here, Lord. Lord, help me. I'm helping you. Help me, Lord. I'm helping you. The shaking is helping you. Say the shaking is helping us. Now, here's a verse I've never seen preached at a conference. Never seen this verse any conference I've ever been to. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. May the God of all grace, say grace, who called us to eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now listen, if you want, raise your hands if you want to be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. Yeah, amen, amen, preach. That's the conference we like. I'm going to the perfecting conference. I'm going to the establishing conference. I'm going to the strengthening conference. I'm going to the settle conference. But there's a pre-conference you got to go to. You got to go to the suffering conference. Now listen, suffering. Don't misunderstand what suffering is. Suffering is not laying in a bed with a migraine headache. Suffering is not, you know, being sick. Suffering is to stand against what you've been delivered from. So don't misunderstand that. Everything that happens to us is not suffering, okay? But suffering is about the will of God and our experience and the gap between the will of God and where we are. And that you know, like warm front, cold front meets, right? It's that place, man, where it's something going on and change is happening at a point where a holy God meets unholy people or flawed people, and his point to manifesting his presence is to help us. And that place is suffering. And so we go through things, and so during that we're thinking about God, we're thinking about the circumstances, looking at our lives. But recognize, as we read in Hebrews, he said, once more, I'm going to shake earth and heaven. Now, this is not just for us, but all creation, nations. I mean, God is shaking everybody, everything. And he says that, indicates removal of those things that are being shaken as things that are made, man-made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What you find out in your trials and tests and suffering is you just rediscover who you are in Christ. And you may find out some other things. You know what? This thing in me, in my mindset, isn't helping me. Right? I mean, you know who you are in Christ. But sometimes we accumulate other stuff. Come on, in Christ. We love God, we serve God, but other stuff gets added into our thinking, added into our lives. We're kind of compromising a little bit here and there. And so when the road is smooth, the compromise stuff don't really bother you. When the road gets rough and the shaking starts and the suffering begins, then that very stuff that you were just hanging on to now is hindering you, hurting you. It's got to go. Well, this is what Peter is talking about, and Peter, you know, actually lived this, right? He went through this stuff. He lived through this season of suffering. But the God of all grace, who called you to his, to eternal glory by Christ. So the God of grace called you. Say, he called me. And the purpose of the calling is for eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now the word suffer means this in the Strong's dictionary of New Testament words. It means to be affected, to undergo, to permit further. Interesting, to permit further. That is, without the process, you can't go further. You know, you've all been trained. Ed Owens been in the military. Brother Boyle, Deacon Ingram. And, you know, this thing called boot camp. I don't know about you, but I don't want an army where the guys show up, put a uniform on them, put a gun in their hand, and send them off to battle. No training, no preparation, no discipline, right? They won't stand a chance. They'll kill each other on the way there. On the way to the war, they'll kill each other. So we know this in school, your training, nursing training for, you know, Nurse Ingram. Man, she suffered. We all suffer when we stand against the things we've been delivered from, and we suffer as we transition to a higher standard. Because the old self doesn't want to go there. The old self is comfortable the way things are. Don't rock my boat. Don't mess with my paradigm. Don't mess with my way of doing things. And yet, this is what God exactly does. Because when the principle of the kingdom of God is stability, and we are unstable people, so we got to learn how to adapt to the kingdom of God. Learn how to live kingdom principles. We don't have that naturally. Now, in our spirit, we have it, but our soul, our mind, emotions, all the rest of us has to learn. Say, has to learn. We must learn kingdom principles. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, man is a generic term, that the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture. That means Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture. For instruction in righteousness. That you can be complete, thoroughly equipped. So that's a process. That's a process. And none of us will arrive to a place of fruitful purpose without the process. Now, people may choose not to go through it, but then they don't experience the fruit of the purpose to which they're being called. Now, we said this last week to you. Justice equals righteousness. And, you know, I found out just in the past several weeks of this writing the book and publishing it and talking about it, that people think that justice is just talking about criminal justice. They don't understand. No, that's a different type of justice. Justice is like music. It's all kind of music. Like art, all kind of art. I'm talking about God's justice, biblical justice. So justice begins with how we relate to God based on the grace he has provided to us. And again, in the Bible, in the Greek dictionaries, Hebrew dictionaries, the words justice and righteousness are almost always the same. It's the same word, different application. Same root words. So righteousness is really the way to think about justice, righteousness. So righteousness begins with God, not with us, right? And even justice then begins with where? With whom? God. So even doing civil justice, then it should trace back to something in God. You follow me? We should treat people right, judge fairly. That's all a part of righteousness. But to our point today, justice is God's order for you. Say that. Say, justice is God's order for me. And righteousness is God's ability working through you. Say, righteousness is God's ability working through me. So, see, connected terms, justice, righteousness. First, it's God's order in you. And once God has helped us order our lives, then we can then be used of God. So we say social justice is then we're taking righteousness out to the world around us. But listen, you can't give what you don't have. Peter said, what I have, I give to you. So that's why there's a lot of problems, because people are trying to help other people, and they themselves have not been helped by God. Or said in a better way, poor examples offered to people, or bad help is offered, if you will, because the person hasn't found righteousness in themselves. Because you cannot give what you do not have. So then, going back to our context, so righteousness, justice, is part of God's kingdom. And when we're attached to the kingdom this way, and we have his righteousness, His order in us and His ability through us, that's a definition also of being stable, of not being shaken loose, if you will. Amen. That's why, again, we're sitting here, we're those who are watching, the people everywhere who love Jesus, been saved for 1, 2, 3, 5, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, still saved, still serving God, because they have attached themselves to the kingdom of God. Got that? Now, next slide. I mean, announce this because it fits right here, right now. We're going to begin a devotional in November. Now, we didn't do it in October. I was busy in October writing the whole book. Amen. So we're going to do a devotional in November dealing with justice, equal righteousness. Again, not civil justice, but justice as God's order in me and righteousness as God's ability through me or through us. Follow me? So we're going to do this 30 days. I asked Minister Sean to write 3 to 4 devotionals in the area of worship, because worship is a part of justice. Because if justice is God's order for you, worship is a part of that, isn't it? So really think about it. If we don't worship God, we're not practicing justice where He's concerned. And if I'm not worshiping God and walking in order with Him, then my righteousness, I mean, I can't, how can I help people when I don't worship God myself? I mean, you can do things. You can give people some money, and I mean, you can do stuff. I mean, as far as helping people spiritually, I can't disciple a person if God's not discipling me. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees, yeah, you make disciples all right, but when you're done, they're twofold more the child of hell than when they started. That, you know, people can make people worse. People can make people worse if they themselves aren't in order with God. Amen? All right, so look for that. Next Sunday begins next Sunday. It'll be on the website. It'll be on my blog. Now, the book is not required. My book is not required for this. This is not about my book specifically. My book has these elements in it, but the book is not about a devotional book. It's not that. It'll be online for you. So I choose you to log in every day and be blessed by it and participate with it. All right, so go on. Now watch this. So again, if Peter said there that by the grace of God, He's called us to eternal glory in Christ. And so after we've suffered a while, how long is a while? I don't know. It depends on what God's doing in your life. It might be a day, it might be a week, might be a year. I don't know. I can't say. This is where God deals with us individually, doesn't He? But the outcome of the suffering and the shaking is to perfect, to establish, to strengthen, and settle. Now, each of those words have meaning. I won't get into it today. Look those up in your online dictionary. But they're powerful words. Each of those words speak to the development of an aspect of our character, putting us in a better place, a place where we need to be. Because, listen, today's learning and today's victory creates tomorrow's blessing for us. And so that we don't want to just say, well, you know, I got my blessing 10 years ago. Yeah, that was good for 10 years ago. But this is 2020. This is today. And so God is always filling us with His wisdom, with His grace. And because, hey, who foresaw this year? My wife and I, we wouldn't have had dinner on Friday. We're all masked up and like everybody is, and now we're used to that. I thought to myself, Pat, look at this. Isn't this ridiculous? I mean, in the sense that who saw this coming? Everybody, you know, in walking the mall, you know, distance out, had a mask on. Now, thank God everybody had a mask on. Everybody in that place. If they didn't, I won't say that. We know who they support. All right, but going on. So, but we just thank God. You know, so here we are. We're in this season and in this pandemic shaking, and yet we're finding our way through it. Where God is keeping us. We're walking in wisdom. Amen. We're not being careless, and yet we're still doing what we need to do and want to do. and finding a way to get things done. In Jesus' name. Now, let me say this. Educators, teachers. My wife's an educator. I was a college professor for a short season. We have had, all of you have taught in some way. Pat Jones, who's watching, she's an educator, and Dr. Kelly and different ones, Nicole, many of you have taught. But part of the job of an educator is to help students discover what is acceptable in relation to learning a subject. Again, serve God acceptably, right, with grace. And so when God trains us and teaches us, that's what he's doing. He's showing us what's acceptable. And a good teacher has this mindset. A teacher thinks this: these students are not going to leave my course the way they came in. They are not going to leave my presence and my class, course, whatever, the same way they came in. Because the point to education is be educated, to be trained, learn, and then and live differently. Live acceptable. Say acceptable. A lack of education leaves people unacceptable in one way or another. True? They're not prepared for certain jobs. They can't qualify for certain positions because they've not been educated to become acceptable in this or that area. So educators have that mindset. I've told you before that when I was in art school, I had a professor in a class on design. I turned the assignment in. He glanced at it, handed it back to me, and said, simplify. One word. You know, I was like, oh, man. I knew what he meant. I didn't want to hear it. I think it's acceptable the way I gave it to you. You know what I'm saying? So I worked on it, brought it back. He said it again, simplify. Then I thought, now see, now he's a racist. Back at that, I was like that, you know. If a white guy told me what I did wasn't acceptable, he must be a racist. That's where I was. That's where I was. And black folk are like that sometimes. That's stupid. That's just stupid, okay? But I realized later on what he was doing. That was my first year at John Heron Art School. And I'm coming from Arlington High School. I was the biggest, baddest, greatest artist they ever had. I was a really gigantic fish in a small pond at the high school. Now I'm in a gigantic pond with I'm a small fish now. I remember one time I turned an assignment in, it had a barely perceptible fingerprint in the corner. Barely, could barely see it. He said, what's that? Just a fingerprint, man. Unacceptable. Handed it back to me. Like, what's wrong with these people? He's racist too. So the simplified guy was racist. This guy with who don't like fingerprints and greasy fingerprints, he's a racist. I was straight ghetto, you know. I mean, I was talented, but I was still ghetto up here, okay? And I remember, at a different class, I turned an assignment in 1 minute late. 1 minute, just only 1 minute, he rejected it. He's a racist, okay? Now, he's a racist too. By then I learned, boy, you're raggedy. You've just been raggedy. And educators won't tolerate that in their presence. Because their assignment is to not let you leave the way you came. And so this speaks to God's purpose. Again, I had to suffer being told, simplify. I suffered being told we had a fingerprint on that. I was a minute late, and I suffered with the rejection of a whole assignment. I couldn't bring it back. That was it. I had one chance. I missed it. So we learn in life, one way or another, that perfecting and establishing and strengthening and settling, it come at the cost of justice and righteousness. Justice with God, order, say order, order and ability. And therefore, this is almost a perfect statement, what Peter said, of receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Amen to that, somebody? And so we don't understand how God uses people around us sometimes. Sometimes people around us, God's using them just the way I told you, that they won't let you get away with mediocre work. Now, if they do, they don't really care about you. Or you've shown them you don't care at all. So why should I care? If you don't care, I'm not going to care. And that happens too sometimes. You know, we have had students and classes where you're trying to help them, they don't want to be helped. And then you get what's called an F then. You fail the class. So life isn't fair, y'all. Life's not fair. But God is just. Amen. And the thing is, listen, it isn't difficult for us, I mean, Christ especially, just step into the grace of God. Because grace provides everything you need. I mean, back when I was in art school, I wasn't saved. I had no silly ghetto mindset. And ghetto kept coming up in me all the time. You know what I'm saying? They just jump up. Ghetto. This just ghetto come up, you know. All this talent and ability, and yet ghetto kept messing me up, right? Ghetto kept, you know, pushing me back. Now, I got saved, and everything changed. Praise God, I got saved, and everything changed. No fingerprints, amen. It was simple. I didn't complain. If he said, fix it. I said, it's going to be, thank you, sir. Thank you for the critique. I'll be happy to fix that. Turn stuff in 5 minutes early. Why run across the yard trying to get there before the deadline? Why are you running through the airport and running through the, just get it done early and turn it in. These are things that when you become encouraged in God, when God helps us become perfected and established and strengthened and settled, these are lessons we live. We just live this way now. We're not perfect. We still make mistakes and fall short, but we don't stay there. When we fall down, we get up. When we miss it, we apologize. Don't just keep covering up. You know, kids don't want to wash up. They put the deodorant on in the morning. Under them arms, they figure put some more on, lay it on thick. And that stink come right on through, you know what I'm saying? That's what kids do. We got to train them. You got to wash up every day. Every day. Get in there. There's funk on you. Wash it off. I don't smell nothing. Oh, we will. By the time you smell, it's too late, though. By the time you smell it, way too late. Moving right along. Throw some humor in. Keep you alive. Keep you awake here. All right. We want to arrive at a place where we can say what Jesus said to Philip. Here's what God's doing. Again, understand the whole context that, you know, he's receiving a kingdom. We receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Things are being shaken are things that are made. So what remains is that which, you know, God has established. And so all this process, God puts the suffering, the shaking, all this brings us to the place of being able to say this. John 14:8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? See, Jesus wasn't saying there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But Jesus so reflected the character of God, Father God, he could say, when you see me, my action, my behavior, my words, you're seeing the Father's character. And I believe that we ought to come to the same point of saying to people who don't know Jesus that when they see us, they can see the character of Christ. They know it, we're not Jesus. But we can bring forth the character of Christ, the behavior of Christ. We can love as Christ loves. And so this is a way where we want to arrive at a place where we can say what Jesus said to Philip. And that would be what mean to us, it means to me, I'll say, it would represent the ultimate of being a part of God's kingdom. I'm so connected to God's kingdom and stable in Him and walking in Him. until I could exemplify Christ to people and then preach Jesus and give the example at the same time. Preach him and show them. Say, preach and show. You can preach him, but if you don't have it, they're going to see that too. Amen, somebody. You got to preach Jesus and show him. Yeah, show your weakness. We're all weak and flawed. People know that. But show the character of Christ. So then, this is where I believe we're headed in this revelation on a kingdom that cannot be shaken, an acceptable service. That we're acceptable when we've allowed the grace of God to do the work it was sent to do. Again, he said, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Last point. Our service is acceptable because it is empowered by Jesus. If people want to see Jesus, let them first see Jesus in us, his people. Don't mistake that. I know we're not Jesus, but I'm telling you, an unsaved person has no concept of Jesus. Even what you say out of your mouth doesn't give a concept. I mean, God can use the word, but they got to see something in me and see something in you. They got to see something of Jesus coming through us, because that's the best proof of all that God is real, because he saved me. He can save you too. And it puts us back in a mindset where, all right, Lord, let me endure and not reject the process of refining, the refining fire, the shaking, the suffering. Let me, Lord, you know, the classes, the courses, I mean, however you're teaching and training me, let me go through it all. Because if I don't go through it, I won't be acceptable. Right? Just like what Paul told Timothy, that all scripture is given, that the man of God may be complete. God doesn't use incomplete people. He doesn't use them in the fullest sense of the term. God's good to all of us. But why would God want to use somebody who chose not to follow him? Why would God use somebody who chose not to follow him? Who chose not to obey, not to read the Bible, not to pray? Why would God want to choose a person like that? He has other people he can choose. So then he wants to help people who haven't chosen to follow him, and we want to help, and we help them as well. But understand, let's not act like we're serving God if we're not doing his will. It's all about grace, not works. It's still grace, y'all. It's not works message. It's grace message, but it's grace empowering. Grace needs to be obeyed, right? Grace needs to be followed. And we just can't just see it and hear it and think we got it. No, because the test is going to come and show us if we got it or not, right? Everybody in school, all the students, a test is administered. Not to embarrass them, but in fact just to verify that you've been paying attention. Amen. And you've actually learned, and you're not going to leave here the same way you came. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord, for just giving us insight today and wisdom and understanding in these things today. Thank you for showing us an aspect of your kingdom that we need to understand and recognize what justice is.